And before Mark chapter 4, I'm sure you know, we read Romans 15, verse 4. Amen. The scriptures was written for instruction and learning. So those beautiful stories are instructing you and you learn from them. Like folktale is to us, they sound interesting, but always have learning point. Hallelujah. Romans 15, verse 4. Are we here? It says, well, whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Hallelujah. Amen. I know the way God designs and the way God orders our steps is absolutely just amazing. Hallelujah. He puts people in places. He causes you to go to where you ought to be and puts you in such a position to be truly an effulgence of his glory. The things you say part time are orchestrated by God. Hallelujah. And oftentimes I wonder how people relate. You know, some people tell you that they can't preach or they can't evangelize, you know. But I often wonder how people when they meet an unbeliever, how they are going to approach that person and how they are going to tell the person about Christ. Hallelujah. You will not be prepared. There are no lecture notes. There are no scriptures to refer to, no lecture notes per se, except the things that you have been able to pick up while you were relating with God. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's important that every time we read the scriptures, we have something, we take something from it, and we hold on to it, and we are able to ruminate. Hallelujah. So every time we read the scriptures, and you keep it in your mind, you call it to memory, you ruminate, and it becomes part of you. Hallelujah. And so you are not caught off guard at any point in time, because whatever scripture you read, or whatever things come to you by God, it's not a mistake. Amen. And it has never been a mistake. I've told you time and time again how simple things, things come to me simply that are purely not my business, okay? But somehow God just makes me take interest in it. And then the same thing will happen 2 weeks, 3 months, 2 months, a month down the line that now is my business and I must use whatever I learned in previous time that was not my business to solve the one that is my business. Hallelujah. So, and it just keeps happening again and again. Amen. Hallelujah. Simple things, not even just restricted to the work I do, but even to daily life. I just see it, and someone is going through something, you're speaking to the person, you're encouraging the person, and then all of a sudden, something happens along the line, and I have to use what I just learned some 2 weeks down the line, and I have to use it for that instance. And so nothing goes to waste. So the Bible says that for other things were written, they were written for our learning. So when you learn, you don't learn things and keep them. You learn so that you make use of them. Hallelujah. Amen. In Mark chapter 4, I read from verse 35. It says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great wind storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was almost already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him, and he said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Hallelujah. Amen. Says, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Amen. So note one thing in verse 37. Verse 37 says that, and a great wind, windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But it was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Amen. And you know that we've already dealt with this. Sorry, which one is it? Is it preposition? But is it a preposition? Or is it a conjunction? Which one is it? Or whatever things we learn so that we can reproduce in future. We learn things since primary school. But what is it? What part of speech is it? But. What part of speech is it? In 2025. But what part of speech is it? Are you sure? What is a conjunction? It joins two statements together. Are you sure? Please ask AI. Oh yeah, ask AI. What is a conjunction? He touched me. Oh, give me verse 37. What is? I'm waiting for you. And oh, what joy that you can't. It's not audible. It's not audible. Your phone is not on.
Sorry. So conjunction definition: the word "but" can be used as a conjunction to indicate a contrast, exception, or condition between two phrases or sentences. It is commonly used with the word though to indicate a contradiction or contrast.
Praise God. Okay, so go back to verse 37. I asked you because you didn't answer me. Did I say you were wrong? I said, what's a conjunction? I said, but what is it? You didn't answer me until I said AI to the rescue. Oh yeah, what is verse 37 saying? Verse 37 says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Then the next one says what? But what? Answer me now. The person that shouts the loudest, we go home with a price. Answer me. What is the next thing there? But it was in a stand. So between verse 27 and verse 38, the boat there does what? He has joined it together. And that's what? She read it now. Anchor or? Contract or what? What did she use the word? 2025. Oh, yeah. Please read it again. Oh, yeah, now. No, read it again. The word bought. There's something you said.
The word but can be used as a conjunction to indicate a contrast, exception, or condition between two phrases.
Exception or condition. Condition. Exception. Meaning that, from what after the but, what does it say? But it says that but he was in the stand, asleep on a pillow. Meaning that, what was it contrasting? Or what was it exception to? The fact that it was not where water was filling. Amen. Verse 37 says, then the boat was being filled up with water. Okay? So it was already filling. But he was on the stand and asleep. Hallelujah. So where he was had nothing to do with the filling. And if you know, if you go for a boat cruise, okay, you will know the construction of a boat. I'm not talking of canoe. I'm talking of a flying boat. Okay? Now, it was in the stand at the very tip of the boat, and he was sleeping. Hallelujah. Amen. Next verse. It says, sorry, let me finish reading. And then they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And what did he say? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Hallelujah. Amen. So first thing you need to note, and this is always very important, and I know everybody knows it, but it's very important. Verse 35 says that on the same day, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Okay? So there was a pure definition and a pure direction. Hallelujah. And once, they were not, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And then everybody went with him. Okay? He had a direction. and he had an end in mind. Hallelujah. I know you very well. I know you for good. That once you follow someone that has a direction, okay? And now someone that has an end picture in mind, once you're following that person, both of you will arrive at the same point, if you don't stop following. Okay? So if I say, let's go, and you follow me, you will get to where I'm going. Because as I navigate, you navigate. Okay? Now, it was the one that said, he told them, let us cross over to the other side. Okay? And then they were in the same boat, but they were in different parts of the boat. There was a windy storm and I was filling up the boat, but he had told them, let us cross over to the other side. And so when trouble came, the only thing they could do, that they thought in their mind could do, was to go to him and say, and I look at him and he was sleeping. And there was a storm, he was sleeping. And I don't know how he did it, except that it's Christ. Hallelujah. Psalm 123. Or is it Psalm 23? Which one is it? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. He leads me beside the still waters. He stores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Hallelujah. So that, he says he leads. He's the one that takes the lead. He gives the direction. He sets the pace. It's left for you and I to follow. Now, those ones that were in the boat purely recognize that, look, they didn't go to him because they were thinking along this line, that we are following you. They went to him because they were afraid, and then he was asleep, and they thought he did not care. Hallelujah. If anybody will lead you beside still waters, once it means that one, he knows how to get to the still waters. Hallelujah. Amen. And he knows the reason why he's taking you to that still water. Hallelujah. He said he's our shepherd, and we shall not want, because he leads and we follow. Hallelujah. If he gives us a direction or an instruction to move, and we are not moving, then we won't get to where he expects us. We won't get to where he expects us to be, or where he wants us to be, because we are not following. Amen. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. Verse 39, it says, then he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's start from verse 39 again. And see something. This boat is the one that we'll be talking about today. It says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Okay, next. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Hallelujah. Amen. How is it that you have no faith? What did they not have faith in? What did they not have faith in? If you look at the trend from 35 to 40, what did they not have faith in? First, it was the ones that said, let us go cross over to the other side. He has set a direction. He has set an expectation. Two, he was right there in the boat with them, and he was sleeping, and he was at the stand, and he was sleeping. And then, the Bible didn't tell us until he spoke that they were fearful. So the reason why they went to wake him up was because they were in fear. Amen. It's amazing. Because they were in fear. And it didn't... So this is an expectation of God from you and I. That with Jesus in the boat, Jesus in the family, Jesus in the house, you should not fret. Hallelujah. You should not entertain any fear because he has set the direction and he has set an expectation. Let us go to the other side. Let us cross over to the other side. Okay? He didn't say let us go. He said let us cross over. Right? Meaning that they were going to move from one point, cross over the sea, and get to where they are going. And so when things happened, and I looked like it was a problem, and he was sleeping, he expected them to be as calm as he was. Hallelujah. That's why he said, why is it that you have no faith? Next, let's continue. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the sea, the wind, and the sea, they obey him? Amen. Hallelujah. You have to have an understanding of the God that you are working with. I think some weeks down back, I think maybe two, or last, was it week before the last, we were talking about the ways of God and the act of God. Amen. If you understand God's ways, then when these storms come, or when these issues come, you will not fret, but you will hold on to that part of God, that way of God that you understand in the midst of trouble, and you will be unmoved, unshaken. Okay? Amen. Sorry, I've talked past my notes. Okay, so in Luke chapter 7. By the way, the end of that story is in chapter 5, Abby. You know the end of the story when they cross over to the other side. Okay, so you can learn the end of the story. Sorry. Luke chapter 7, and I'm going to read from verse 11. It says, now it happened after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead, sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Amen. Hallelujah. It says that he entered the city, and then there was a dead body that was being carried around, and then he looked at the woman and said to her, do not weep. Hallelujah. Do not weep. There is someone that just was going to bury her son, and he's saying, do not weep. Hallelujah. When God's word comes your way, he's setting you up for a miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. He's setting you up for a miracle. I'm talking to you about the mind-blowing things that he did. Okay? The first one, he spoke to the wind, and then they became fearful. He said, who is this man that can, the wind and the sea, they obey him? Hallelujah. I mean, I've not been on the sea before. The closest is one, what's that river that we climbed that time? It was just one makeshift river-like thing like that. That we just move from one end to the other. I've not been on the sea before. But sometimes when you see the rain that is boisterous, that is stormy, and then you can imagine what a stormy sea will look, what it will look like, then you understand why these people were gripped with fear. But they said, then they were amazed and said, look, what kind of man is this that the wind and the sea obey him? Hallelujah. Now he's speaking, they're going to bury a dead body, and then he looks at the mother of the dead man and he says, do not weep. Why would he say do not weep? You don't give hope when you cannot solve a problem. So if you come to me and say, and you come with me to me with a barrage of requests, and I say, don't worry, everything will be sorted. Now, I'm saying don't worry, everything will be sorted. And then you become calm, day one, day two, day three, day four, nothing is sorted. Won't you come back? I say, you told me not to worry. Nothing is being sorted. Hallelujah. But then, this is not like that. The way God expects us to relate with him is that even before things begin to happen, before we begin to see them, we are in a position of faith. He ended the story with the storm and the wind and the sea by telling them that they had no faith because they were fearful. So entertaining fear is also a show of a lack of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And you're not going to hold me for that, because that's what he said in the Bible. You say, this person, why, he doesn't know anything. Things happen. Christ knows that things happen. But then he sits in heavenly places, far above principalities and power. Hallelujah. And in him, nothing was made that was made. Hallelujah. So everything is subject to him. So if he sets a tone, he sets a direction, and sets an expectation, he expects us to follow. Hallelujah. So if I say follow me and I put you in my car and I'm driving towards Bagada from where we are in Ogudu, all of us will arrive at Bagada. Or we arrive in Bagada because we're in this same boat. Except the person that gets off or says, don't worry, I want to do this, I'm coming. That person is not going to arrive where we arrive. Amen. If you are truly sold out to him, then you follow his instructions to the letter. Hallelujah. And then he tells the man, do not weep. And then he says, he came and he touched the coffin and he spoke to the woman and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Hallelujah. When he's speaking, he sends you a word that changes that situation or that circumstance. Amen. He's going to send you a word. It will change the situation and circumstance if only you will believe and have enough faith. If things are happening over and over again, they do not mean that you should lose faith. Hallelujah. Because the trying of your faith does what? It works patience. Hallelujah. You will patiently wait for the Lord. Hallelujah. If Simon, the man that Satan was referring to on Sunday, that said, now I have seen the Lord. Your servant is ready to go. If he had not been patient, he would not have seen the Lord. And the same thing Sister Remy was trying to tell us in prayer this evening. And people are just missing it and missing the point. Okay? The Lord is coming. And he has told us how he will come. And he has told us that the hour and the day, nobody knows. Amen. So if at all I'm even a dull person, at least I know that the hour and the day, nobody knows. So nobody can come to me and tell me that it's tomorrow. Amen. And then you expect me to drop everything. And that's why you are saying that everybody should be ready. Because the hour and time, nobody knows. But be ready, be not be caught unawares. Hallelujah. That's not to say you are not going to get prepared. You should be prepared for the second coming. Hallelujah. Amen. But then, do not be blown or thrown away by every wind of doctrine. Don't let people use the fake because they know there's an original. Be careful. Amen. So I'm saying that I'll was saying that when he asked you to do something, he's setting you for a miracle. When he met the woman at the Samaritan woman at the well, I think that's in the book of John, right? When he met that woman at the well, I think John chapter 4. Yeah. From verse 5. No. Let's not go to verse 5. Let's just go to verse 9. It says, let me just start from verse 5. Sorry. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called. I should not have started from this verse 5. I should have just. Okay. Near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat forth by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, for the three instances I've read to you, he spoke just a simple sentence to each one. The first set of people said, "Let us cross over to the other side." And then to the woman, he said, "Do not weep." And then to this woman, he says, "Give me a drink." Hallelujah. He's just setting her up. "Give me a drink." And then the woman says, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said, If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you will have asked him and he will have given you living water. Hallelujah. Meaning that if you simply obey, if you know the capacity of the person that is giving you an instruction, you will obey and you will get more than you bargained for. Amen. Hallelujah. So when he throws questions your way, is to open your eyes. I mean, give me a drink. And the woman is going to say, was it that he did not know that she's a Samaritan? Do you understand? Because for her to be saying, "Don't you know that Samaritans and Jews do not relate?" I mean, it's strange. Because that's the way they would live normally. So she should have known that he knew very well that she's a Samaritan. And it should have been, of course, it's okay for her to wonder. Okay? But then, you're saying, if you knew the person that is asking you, then you will have asked for even much more. Hallelujah. And then he would have given you living water. The simple things of God, the simple things he asks us to do are enough to set us on a high pedestal, even in the spiritual realm. So the simple act of meditating on his word, why would he say you should meditate on his word? It's so that you can get an understanding. Amen. You can get an understanding. So if you are used to writing quotes or whatever, there is what we call a format that these things take. Okay? And when you first look at the screen, you just look at what's all this nonsense. Everything else looks like blah, 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 what's all this. But if you take time to understand each block of instruction that is in that line, and you're able to interpret it, to every other person, you become a god. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every other person, you become a god. Now, the people that excel in their field of study, they are as human as you are, you and I are, okay? But they are more diligent and dedicated to the things that they have found themselves doing. That's the absolute difference. Amen. So when you look in the field of football, for instance, the ones that excel, when they tell you the things that they do on a regular basis, when they wake up, how they wake up early, whether there's a match tomorrow or no match tomorrow, how they wake up early and run their routines, or how the ones that run, how they tie weights on their leg, and they just follow their routine simply because they want to do better than, they want to be better than themselves and not than somebody else. So their competition is with themselves. If I set for myself a record today, I want to beat that record. I want to beat that record tomorrow. Or I want to strengthen myself in another area tomorrow. That's how we're supposed to live life. Hallelujah. So that we can excel. And that's why the Bible asks us that we should meditate on God's word day and night. You see, that meditation is an exercise. Because once your spirit man is stretched and is filled with the knowledge and understanding and wisdom of the Almighty God, amen, there's no limit to what you can achieve. So when things don't go the way you want them to go, or don't happen the way you envisage them to happen, you are not moved. Amen. Because you know that he said, let us cross to the other side. Because you know that he said, give me a drink. And because you know that he said, do not weep. Hallelujah. So I'm saying that to the ones that have spent time with him, he has a greater expectation. And that's why he said, you guys have no faith. He couldn't have blamed them that they don't have faith, but he says they were his disciples and they were in the boat with him and then they were fearful. So if you have spent time with God, there's an expectation from God for you. You know, I've told you that several times I've had accidents, and thank God my mother came. I didn't know she was coming, number one. She tell me she was coming. And I didn't know that we were going to do testimony. And the first thing she told you was that this boy, he had several accidents. Several. So, as I moved from one to another, I mean, I got the position like, okay, if an accident happens, no shaking, I'm fine. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I've seen him over and over again, faithful to his word. Now, I'm not going to deliberately go into an accident to show you that God is faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. If I do that, it's just bye-bye. It's just, that, and then someone say, and he was talking about, he's a lie. I'm not going anywhere. Someone say, he was talking about, maybe he knew he was going, he's a lie. It's carelessness. I will not go and say, oh yeah, let me show you that God is faithful. And then enter one water. No, that's not going to happen. But if by adventure it happens, I am going to come out. And I'll come out unscratched. That's how I've done each one. The ones that caught me, and that one, when I was small, I didn't know anything. The other ones, no. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and then he would have given you living water. You know what this says to me? Sometimes when we say give to God, it's the same thing that I say, you know. He's speaking to the woman. Give me a drink. He says, if you knew, then you would have asked. The equation the other way around. He says, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Hallelujah. So if you say, give to God. He says, then you would have asked God, and then he would have given you much more. Because you readily understand that he supplies all our needs. Hallelujah. Amen. Anything you give to God, I mean, what do you want to give to God that God does not have? I say, people should dance. They will form in, they cannot dance. I understand. What steps do you have that some other person cannot dance? Amen. Oh yeah, let's read Psalm 150. It's the psalmist that said it to, or that said it. Psalm 150 from verse 1. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpets. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with timbre and dance. Praise him with string instruments and with flute. That's why David, the author of this psalm, could dance recklessly because he understood who he was dancing for. There's nothing you give to God that doesn't return to you in multiple folds. But you don't give to God because you want a hundredfold. You give to him because you understand who he is and you are able to follow. Because wherever he leads, wherever he says he's going, he will get there. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, very quickly, before, so so that before you kick me out of here. Go to verse 25. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is Christ. When he comes, he will tell you all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? Amen. And then, at that point, the woman ran and said, come, verse 29 says, come see a man. The woman left her butter pot, went away into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? I encountered with him because of the things he was talking, saying to her. He surpassed what any other person could have ever done to her. And then she looked at it that it was very, very accurate. Amen. He says, come see someone that has blown my mind. Hallelujah. Amen. He has blown my mind and he has told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. But Christ says, my will, my food is to do the will of him who has sent me and to accomplish and completely finish his work. Amen. So the things, the encounter we have with him, or the encounter we have about him, let's go back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, from verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, it says, he restores my soul, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Everything that we experience from God is for his name's sake. He has a name to protect. He has an integrity to protect. Okay? So he will not send his word. Because see, every word of God that we read, you know, we read Romans 15, verse 4. It says everything was written for our learning. And if we are taking learning from his word, for every word that we latch onto that speaks to our situation, he's going to work for us. Because the things he has promised and he will do is there for his name's sake. And he's just a faithful God, absolutely faithful. True to his word. So when you are going through the scriptures and you are reading that he's faithful, and you are reading that this thing speaks to my condition or my situation, know fully well that it will happen because God will protect his name for his name's sake. He says, everything, the fact that he's my shepherd, he ends up with the fact that he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Except he takes out his name. And he's not going to do that. Hallelujah. Except he takes out his name. He says everything is for his name's sake. And when he was talking to the woman, the Samaritan woman, John 4, 39, he says, I need to do the will of my Father. That's the food that I eat. Hallelujah. He says, and he must accomplish it. And if the Bible has told us that his word will not return to him void until it accomplishes everything that he was sent forth to accomplish, then we ought to know that we have to hold on to that word and not live in fear. Hallelujah. He will do things that will blow our minds. When we think that we are in a tight position, when we think that everything is on, we are in a, I don't know how to put that word, but we're in a tight corner. It will blow your mind because it will take you out of it. He has a name to protect. Hallelujah. He has a name to protect, and it will not slip away because he's God. Amen. Let's rise to our feet. No, he spoke to inanimate things, and they obey. Those guys in Mark chapter 4, they were like, who is he that the wind and the sea obey him? Hallelujah. If those things can obey him, then you and I ought to obey. And what is he asking for us? He's asking that we should be solely sold out to him, solely sold out to his cause, knowing fully well that he is faithful. He will do the things that he says he will do, and we will see the things that he says will see come to happen, because he's God. Just thank him. This is not the time to lose faith. This is the time that you have to stay rooted in him and patiently wait for him, because he will show up. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. We magnify your name. Let your name be glorified. Thank you for your word. Thank you because indeed, everything that we'll ever ask or we need, they are confirmed in you, Lord God. But thank you because you make us to be steadfast, to stay where you have put us, so that as you lead, we'll follow, so that we can come to an expected end. And indeed, we'll be glad and we'll rejoice indeed in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.